Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea is our regular guest, too.
Bumgarner, he's a god, isn't he? He does all these things that no other humans do.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by Sun First Solar. Others promise the moon, they deliver the sun. We're also brought to you by Rose's Cafe, a favorite in the Cow Hollow neighborhood of San Francisco for the past 20 years. Today it's part two of the conversation with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle. Let's talk about the Giants and what happened in their disastrous first half and what they might want to try to accomplish in the second half, really leading into 2018. I mean, first of all, I don't think anybody saw this coming, John. I mean, you hear all the comments. Even Brian Sabian recently came out. Everybody's pretty shocked at how badly this team played because on paper, yeah, there were a few holes, but it just all went wrong. And it wasn't just Bumgarner's injury. It was other injuries, but it was also some players not, living up to their capabilities and really their track record. So is it one of those things where, everybody has to look in the mirror and try to improve? Are they kind of walking around on eggshells wondering who's going to get traded? Because, a lot of players are no longer safe as far as, being on that list of tradable player before the deadline.
Yes, on all of the above. rotation, bullpen, offense, defense, special teams. everything's broken down, and everything's been disastrous. And talking to Buster Posey at the All-Star break, in separate stories, I quoted him as saying in different ways about the importance in the second half of getting some kind of momentum for next year. So in other words, according to Buster Posey, this year is over with, and it's about gaining momentum for next year. It's about getting the right players, getting the right pieces, getting the right thought process, getting the right groove so that next year doesn't repeat this year. And it's interesting he would say that in mid-July, a guy who's got three rings, who knows nothing but winning, who's on his way to becoming the next Derek Jeter, with all those championships and all those accolades, for a guy to say that with his relevance in mid-July, that it's all about 2018, is pretty telling. 34-56 at the break, and you're right. People are going to be traded. They're going to break up this team to some extent, and we're not going to see the same old guys that turn this season into a waste because first of all, there are many who will stay because of their contracts and because of their value. According to the management of the team, they believe that these guys will, turn back to what they've always been, that this past season is not indicative of their career. So, we're going to see Bumgarner next year. We're going to see Posey next year. We're going to see Crawford next year. But there might be players beyond that we won't see, and some might be surprising.
More with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle in just a moment. We all know that solar systems make financial sense and environmental sense. And when it comes to choosing the best installation crew in the business, Sun First Solar should be your first choice. Sun First Solar has provided solar excellence since 1984. They are SunPower Elite Commercial and Elite Residential installers with a reputation for technical excellence, innovative design, fair pricing, excellent customer service, and end-to-end quality and competence. Sun First Solar is a family business devoted to treating their employees, customers, the community, and the environment with respect, and they are devoted to renewable energy and sustainability throughout the Bay Area. There is no roof or project that is too complicated. Sun First has successfully installed solar on Spanish tile roofs, metal roofs, and very steep roofs. They also have extensive experience in solar ground mounts and solar pool heating. Competitive pricing, expert consultation, and the best warranty. Go local and get your SunPower solar system from Sun First Solar today. Call Sun First Solar at 415-458-5870. That's 415-458-5870. A lot of people are talking about Belt and Panic, and honestly, I wouldn't trade either one of them. I mean, here's why. I'm looking at Belt, and he's having a career year as far as home runs. Yeah, his batting average is down and his on-base percentage. He's been a little stubborn to try to hit the ball the other way with that shift. But I don't know that you improve that much over there. You're going to throw Chris Shaw into it. I mean, he's not ready yet. And Joe Panic, Joe Panic is actually, you know, one of their better hitters this year. So, I mean, you're going to just trade him. He has a gold glove from last year. I know you have to kind of pin it on a few players here and there. You got to make some changes. But I don't know that those are the guys. And I'm not saying they're untouchable. But they are taking a lot of heat, it seems like, on social media, where I don't understand them. I still think they're valuable players to the Giants.
Yeah, I would be surprised if Belt is traded. I wouldn't be surprised if Panic is traded. I mean, this is not Belt's fault. He's a first baseman. He's not a cleanup hitter. It's the Giants' fault for not getting a cleanup hitter that would allow Pence and Posey and Belt to fall into the places that they should be in instead of cleanup. If Belt were a seven hitter, in a good lineup, Yankees,
right?
He would be awesome, especially with a short porch that Yankee Stadium has in right field. But listen, yeah, he's got gap to gap power. You know, only one left-handed hitter has ever proven to be a consistent home run hitter. And he just went up on the Wall of Fame the other day, and he might have his number retired, Barry Bonds. But other than that, I don't think there's a left-hander who ever feels comfortable in this ballpark. And his contract would suggest to me that he's not going anywhere. But Joe Panic, hey, you know what? He's 3 years until free agency. He's a very good defensive player. He can get in a groove offensively. He's a good teammate. He's got some value on the market. I think a second baseman can be replaced. Every organization, you would think, has a number of middle infield prospects or somebody they can put there. He's not a power guy. They're not going to miss any kind of power. He's not a speed guy. They're not going to miss any kind of his speed. You know, they would miss his defense and his presence. But if you could get a left field prospect and a pitching prospect for Joe Panic, I think you got to make the move, because you know, Joe Panic is, you know, valuable. He's got rings, but on the other hand, his contract can be moved. Teams value him because he's not paid a lot of money, and he's got three arbitration years here before free agency. So he's an affordable player. Another guy you really got to look at is Johnny Cueto. I wouldn't be surprised. In fact, I'd almost imagine him being traded, because he's got an opt out after the season, and if you're going to lose him anyway, why not get something for him? He's not putting his numbers together like he did last year. Remember, he started the All-Star game last season, and he's got a 4.5 ERA this year. He showed signs recently that he could, you know, get back to where he was. He's got that blister issue here and there. And teams are a little afraid. They don't know what they're getting, really. Are they getting a two-month rental, or are they getting a guy who won't opt out, who will stick around for four more years at $84 million? In this world, for an ace pitcher or a co-ace, you know, that's the going rate. And that maybe that's less than the elite guys like, Clayton Kershaw and Max Scherzer. But I think there will be plenty of teams interested in him, and maybe they would take the gamble. They would trade for him as if he's a two-month rental. But, you know, who wouldn't want a Johnny Cueto in his rotation moving forward if you can afford it, if you're looking, you know, in your payroll that's doable. So, and obviously Eduardo Nunez, who will be a free agent, is, you know, he's expected to come off the disabled list this weekend in San Diego, and once he does and proves himself, and there is still time before the July 31st trade deadline, then he could be moved as well, because Christian Arroyo seems to be, if he stops getting hit by pitches in AAA in the wrist, the third baseman of the future.
Yeah, he could be third base or second base if Panic gets traded. So one way or the other. And certainly the Giants seem to be showcasing Cueto. They pitched him the last game before the All-Star break. They didn't have to that. They moved Kane. And then they have him slated to start the first game after the All-Star break on Friday night. So, you know, we'll see. But, you know, I wonder how the trade on Thursday morning, the Cubs and the White Sox with this deal, Jose Quintana going to the Cubs from the White Sox, how that affects things. Because if you look at the numbers, John, Quintana's ERA is similar to that of Cueto, both 4.5. Now, the contracts are very different because Quintana is signed through 2018, and there are club options on him for the next 2 years after that. So it is a very team-friendly contract to, you know, to have him on board. The Cubs gave up two of their top prospects for Quintana. So you wonder what the take might be on Cueto, because, you know, I wondered, his ERA is 4.5. It's not great, but if, you know, if the White Sox were able to garner two top prospects there, yeah, the contract is better in that respect, but still, you would think the Giants could take home something pretty good.
So you're saying the Quintana trade might be good news for the Giants because maybe they could get more than they expected, or
maybe
as much as they hope for Cueto.
Maybe, yeah, but you have one team crossed off the list now that doesn't need a pitcher that has a lot of money and prospects. So now, you know, that's the other side of this.
And you're right. The club options, $10.5 million in 2019, $11.5 million in 2020 for Quintana. That's affordable by today's standards. For a good rotation guy, definitely, like you said, club friendly. It's like Madison Bumgarner-ish and Matt Moore-ish, though Matt Moore is struggling this year, so I'm not sure if it's such a team-friendly contract anymore. But it is different in that Cueto could be a free agent after the season and then make even more than 84 over 4, though he is to the age where at the end of this 4 years, he's going to be 36. So how many teams, you know, are faithful enough and positive enough to know that Cueto is still going to be doing it at 36 years old? You know, the thing that struck me the most in that trade was the fact that two Chicago teams made the trade.
Right.
Because you don't see that here in the Bay Area. The Giants and A's don't ever do business together. They always say, oh, yeah, we're not afraid to make a move. He just hasn't. Well, come on. You don't want to do business with your Cross Bay rival. I mean, it's proven. The last major trade by these two teams that anyone remembers, 1990. That was the Ernie Riles for Darren Lewis trade.
Not a real big trade either. Yeah.
Well, it was pretty good. I mean, Darren Lewis was that center fielder on the 93 team that won 103 games.
I always liked him. You know, yeah, he was good.
Yeah. Or, you know, he went to Cali, local kid from the East Bay, played on both teams. And Ernie Riles, a durable, pretty good third baseman in his own right.
We'll continue the conversation with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle right after this.
If you're looking for a great place to stop by for a bite to eat before a night game or dinner after a day game, Rose's Cafe is the place to go. A favorite in the Cow Hollow neighborhood for the past 20 years, Rose's Cafe is a hangout for locals who bask in the sun at sidewalk tables, duck inside for a cappuccino, or stay for a leisurely lunch or dinner. Many customers are regulars who frequent their pretty bistro cafe that offers table service and deliciously consistent food, Italian fare created using organic local produce, fresh seafood, humanely raised meats, and free-range poultry. Rose's artisan bakers bake a daily selection of pastries, desserts, and breads. Menu highlights include pizzas, daily soups, and house-made pastas. A robust beer and wine list with many by-the-glass options are available. So stop by Rose's Cafe at 2298 Union Street in San Francisco.
Before we finish up, I want to talk about Madison Bumgarner and his return, and he's slated to pitch on Saturday in San Diego. And some people, they feel that this was rushed a little bit. And, you know, I don't know. I know he was hell-bent on getting back as soon as possible. You know, he was contrite about his dirt bike accident and maybe feeling so bad, you know, about hurting the team that he wants to get back to the team. The other part of it, I feel, John, is that, you know, he wants to get a big contract at some point, so he doesn't want to waste any time proving that he's healthy. Now, the other side of it, some of the naysayers are saying, well, why are you wasting your time coming back so fast to a team that's out of it anyway? Just take your time. Don't risk anything. What are your thoughts about Bumgarner and the timing of his comeback?
Well, I think he's still embarrassed by all of this, and I think the quicker he gets back to the mound, the quicker people stop remembering that he fell off a bike and helped cause the season to go south.
Right.
And if he can get back and excel and produce and be the old guy that everyone knows, then you start thinking, okay, hey, you know, maybe they got something here and maybe they will have something next year. But if he continues throwing these AAA games and single A games to, you know, meaningless situations, you know, all he really wanted to do was build up his pitch count, get his arm strength, maintain his health, and get some durability in there. And that's what he's done. The results kind of are secondary, although the results were pretty good in his last outing in San Jose. So, I mean, if he's ready, if he thinks he's ready, if the doctor thinks he's ready, I don't think that's rushing it. I think, you know, this whole process, I mean, this was mid-April, and it's July, and he's gone through his spring training here. He says he's healthy. He's, you know, he got up to his fastball velocity where it ought to be. You know, whether he pinpoints his slider or cutter, you know, that's to be determined at the major league level. He got hit pretty hard in some of these rehab games by kids who are pretty free swingers. We'll see how that translates in San Diego when he starts on Saturday. But it's going to be a good story, you know, story to watch. And, you know, you talk about his contract. He's not going to want to come back when he's not ready and put up lousy numbers and then talk to him in the offseason about a new contract. He must think that he can put away hitters.
Yeah.
And have a low ERA and a high strikeout count and a low walk count and be the old Madison Bumgarner. I don't think he'd come back when he's not ready and have lousy numbers and then have no negotiation power in the offseason. So obviously, a lot of things are at stake, the Giants' future and his future, for starters.
I was covering that first San Jose outing for Comcast Hometown Network, and I'll tell you, John, that was probably the worst rehab start I've ever seen, where he gave up, yeah, he gave up 8 runs in one inning. He gave up 2 home runs in one inning to DJ Peters. One of them was like 470 feet. But here's the other part of it. Here's the other part of it. Not only the worst I've ever seen, and I've seen a lot of rehab outings in my minor league broadcasting career, but I couldn't believe the fact that he had absolutely no reaction to it. I mean, he didn't care at all about giving up these home runs and these runs. It was just like, I'm just going to get my pitches in. And people say that, pitchers say that, players say I'm going to get my rehab in, whatever. But it's still competitive out there. And boy, he just looked like it didn't matter to him at all. He knew what he wanted to accomplish, and he accomplished what he needed to do in that outing.
They have their plan. I have mine. That was
right,
mine.
Right.
I couldn't care less about the results. And when he says, you know, when people say that in spring training, you say, come on. You know, they really do care about it. They don't want to go out there and get shelled. But I think he might have to believe Bumgarner. I think it's not about what the guys do with the swing. It's about what he does with the pitches. But, and that was only 2 starts ago, right? So, and now he suddenly he's going to be in big league ballparks. And we'll know for sure, you know, a few innings into his start on Saturday, whether he really didn't care about those things. Because if he gives up 9 runs in the 3rd inning or 4th inning in San Diego, I think he will care. But anyway, it's something that, you know, he's trying to put an end to this story. He's, you know, remorseful. You know, he's saying all the right things. You know, he knows that the season might not have been so bad if he was around every 5th day. And by the way, that was a topic I addressed at the All-Star game in Miami. Talking to Buster Posey, that's what he says. You know, we dearly missed him because when you go into a series and when you know Bumgarner is going to be, you know, the pitcher in the 2nd game of the 3-game set, well, that other team is kind of feeling the pressure. Hey, we got to win the opener. because we're facing Bumgarner tomorrow, and he often wins. So if we don't win today, then we could lose the first two of this, and we need to figure this out now and win this. So as he was saying, hey, you feel that the other team is feeling the pressure in that first game because Bumgarner's in the weeds ready to go in game two. And I talked to Clayton Kershaw, and I asked him generally, I didn't ask him about Bumgarner, but I said, generally, the Giants' season, are you kind of surprised that they haven't challenged you guys like everyone expected them to, and it's more about Denver and Arizona challenging the Dodgers? And the only thing he says, hey, when you lose Bumgarner, everything changes. And that was his comment. He says, you know, every fifth day when he's out there, you know you have a real good chance to win, and that's what they didn't have. So even Kershaw, I mean, he could have said, you know, all the offense, he could have said the injuries, he could have said this or that. But the only thing he says is when you lose Bumgarner, everything changes.
Well, maybe he provides a feel-good story in the second half, and it leads into a better competitive 2018. Well, John, enjoy San Diego. Look forward to talking to you here in a couple of weeks as we get closer to the trade deadline. Who knows? The face of the Giants, you know, may change a lot in a couple of weeks here.
Yeah, you're right. And it, you know, it's we're getting into a time frame that we have not seen in a long, long time from this organization, and that's, you know, downsizing, building for the future, trading big parts for younger parts that could help down the road. They want to win in 2018, but they've also got to pull the trigger in 2017 to make that happen. So it'll be interesting heading into this trade period before the July 31st deadline.
All right, John, thanks a lot, and enjoy the rest of the trip.
Thanks a lot, Joe. We'll talk to you next time.
That's San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea. Join us again on Monday. We're scheduled to talk to national baseball writer Jason Stark. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on theSportsVirus.com.